Michelle Boone, are you on the line?
I am.
It is so nice to talk to you. You are now. I think, and I've known Michelle for a long time and consider her a very good friend, and I'm a great admirer. Your title at Navy Pier is cumbersome to me. Chief Program and Civic Engagement Officer.
Quite a mouthful, huh?
Yeah, it is a mouthful. It is a mouthful. And I think that when people think of Navy Pier, Michelle, and tell me I'm wrong, they mostly think, oh, that's a great place to go in the summer. Maybe not so much in the winter. We're going to try to convince people that it's a place to go right now. But that is true. I mean, the place is just jammed in the summertime, is it not?
The place is jammed in the summer. And guess what? It's actually jammed right now. In the winter, because of the great programming that we have available.
You do. I mean, I think a lot of people get introduced to the pier in the winter by that, the Winterfest thing that, the young Fiona Kogan and I have been to, I don't know, 10 years in a row or something.
Very good.
That's gotta be a huge draw, is it not?
It is. In fact, this past winter was the 18th year of Winter Wonderfest.
Oh, my God.
So it's quite a Chicago tradition now. We've seen families grow up over the years and even new families, people that came as kids are now bringing their own children back to Winter Wonderfest.
You know, I was at Navy Pier a week ago Friday for the first time in some time. I used to sort of work there at WBZ for a while, and I've been known to frequent the Billy Goat. I am stunned and quite pleased by the transformation that's going on there. Michelle, could you kind of delineate the changes that have gone on there in new businesses and just opening it up.
Yeah, the entire pier, actually.
Pardon me?
The entire pier.
Yeah, I know.
So in 2016, the pier was celebrating its century of being in existence in Chicago. Can you imagine? Navy Pier has been around for 100 years.
Ugh.
And the leadership of the pier, as they were approaching this great milestone, began to think about, well, what's going to be the role or the place for Navy Pier in the hearts of Chicagoans for the next 100 years?
Yeah.
And embarked on this really ambitious centennial plan, which included kind of a transformation, as you said earlier, of the physical space. And so they worked with James Corner, the architect that has done lots of innovative public spaces, mm-hmm. including the High Line in New York, to open up the South Dock, the promenade, the main promenade that is adjacent to Lake Michigan, and really connect the people back to the beautiful waterfront, the nature. People don't necessarily or hadn't necessarily thought about the environment that Navy Pier exists in. And so connecting people to the land, the water, and the air in new and interesting ways. And so opening up those spaces so people could actually see our beautiful, majestic lakefront, have benches installed and places for people to have respite and relax. And then the other big major transformation came through the gift from the Polk Brothers Foundation, which allowed the pier to kind of revamp its, if you will, front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
with the addition of what is now Polk Brothers Park, we have two performance stages outside.
I know.
And it's just gorgeous. The landscaping, places where you can come and bring a little picnic and enjoy a jazz concert or perhaps enjoy a film. We have a movie series that happens every summer, Waterflix.
Yep.
But there's all kind of things that are going on. And then with that, the interior also got some love.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
So it really...
No.
And
well, you know, Michelle Boone, too, the interior needed some love. Would you not?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was due for, as you said, a little TLC. So now you'll find that the retail is a reflective more of Chicago, as are the food options that the restaurants, if people, you know, people say Navy Pier is a place for tourists, but it's really a place for everybody, and Chicagoans too.
See,
but
I'll tell you, Michelle,
Chicago,
just in my walk through, I got that sense. I at one point, before you came to the pier, was getting kind of down on the pier as something that seemed to me like a kind of tourist hustle. And
yeah,
in the last few
people that thought the same thing.
Yeah, I know. I think the transformation and the renovation and the addition of some new places, a place like Tiny Tavern, which is a dead local Chicago place, along with Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, you can have. That's just right. Not my scene. But there are so many. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful time for people to go back to the pier. Let me ask you a question before we talk to. We're going to take a break and then talk about the reason, an incredible draw. It's one of the great art installations I have ever encountered in this city. Wow. Called The Beach Chicago. That is a great. It's a great thing to see. It ends on February 3rd, February 3rd being next Sunday, and it's the greatest Super Bowl alternative I've ever encountered in my life. But before we even get to that, this kind of weather, does the Ferris wheel run in this kind of polar vortex nonsense we're going to go through next week, or do you have to shut that down?
Well, we have had to shut down the Ferris wheel on a few of the more challenging days with the wind, high wind. And the ice.
Sure.
But it is built to operate year-round. The cabins are heated.
That's what
so
I remember.
When there aren't these kind of very extreme weather conditions, you can find that the Ferris wheel is open. But unfortunately, on those very windy, cold, icy days, it does not run.
But then again, Michelle Boone, the Chief Program Civic Engagement Officer at Navy Pier, and that's navypier.org if you can't figure that out, it's supposed to be like 50 degrees next Saturday and next weekend, so not to worry about the wind chill. If you'll hold on, I want to get a short commercial break in here, Michelle, and then we're going to talk at some length about the beach. Which I just find, and you, I'm going to get your impression of it too. Welcome back. I am on the telephone with my old friend Michelle Boone, who kind of runs Navy Pier. Her official title is Chief Program Civic Engagement Officer. Michelle, how many years have you been at the pier now?
Just shy of three, about 2.5 years.
It must be incredible fun for you, especially with the transformation taking place these days.
Are you kidding? I'm having a blast.
Yeah, I'll bet. Because it gives you the space. I mean, it's a huge place, and it gives you the space for a lot of, to express your creative wishes and wants. The current, I don't even want to call it an exhibition. I want to call it a sensation that is taking place in that grand hall. I guess it's now called
Aeon Grand Ballroom.
It's now the Aeon. It used to always be just the Grand Ballroom. Now it's the Aeon Grand Ballroom. It's a tremendous space that has been transformed and turned into literally a beach. Before we get into the details of how it's a beach, did someone call you and say, hey, like, we'd like to turn the ballroom into a beach? How does this come to be from Snarkitecture, a New York-based design firm? How does this thing happen?
Well, as you know, Chicago's Art Fair, Expo Chicago, has been a part or based at Navy Pier for 8 years, the past 8 years. Mm-hmm. And so since I've been there, we've been collaborating on a number of public art projects.
Sure.
And so they brought to my attention this wacky idea of an indoor beach. And it had been in Washington, D.C., and in Tampa, Paris. It was in Sydney, Australia. And, of course, Expo really wanted to have the beach installed during the time of Expo in the fall. But I really like the idea of the irony of having a beach in the winter in Chicago.
I love it, too.
And the setting of the Grand Ballroom really resonated with the design team at Snarkitecture. They love installing their works in spaces that really forces audiences to experience and think about architecture in new and different ways. And that certainly happens with the ballroom.
Well, that there is no question about it. I went and saw and jumped into the million balls that are part of it. You and your, basically what it is, it's taken over the 18,000 square foot space and literally turned it into an indoor beach with there are lounge chairs, there are lifeguard chairs and umbrellas. There are these, you know, what you would inflatable, you know, a big duck, and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, rubber ducky.
Yeah, and big and rubber duckies
and all the things that you would find at a beach. And the illusion of the water is created with these 1 million plastic spheres. That kind of fill the, or serve to make an ocean, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And you and your colleagues at the pier were responsible for loading in all of those. I think it may be between 1 and 1.1 million of these little sort of plastic spherical things. What was that day like for you all?
Oh, my gosh. So it has actually taken about 2 weeks to install the complete beach.
Sure.
But we had 7 shipping containers sail across the ocean from Australia with the balls. There were 7 shipping containers filled with 2,200 boxes.
Good God.
Each holding 500 balls each.
Good God.
And so we had about 40 people over the course of about 7 hours.
Ugh.
Just emptying box after box after box of these balls until it was all complete.
All right, I got to ask you, how many of those 40 some people called in sick the next day saying, I can't get out of bed, Michelle? I'm sorry.
No, I think we'll get a lot of calls in sick when we have to box them up.
Oh my Lord. Oh, my Lord, I didn't even think of that. So I was there the opening night. It's in a preview night. And you, frankly, seemed delighted by the whole scene, even though you had seen it a few hours before I saw it. I thought it was delightful, too. And I at first, Michelle Boone, I thought, well, this is something just for kids. It's fantastic for kids. But, man, did I see a lot of adults having a good time in there.
And it's been really interesting. I've noticed, you know, some grandparents come and they bring the little ones
sure.
to enjoy it. And, you know, they kind of sit on the side and say, oh, I don't want to take my shoes off. I'm going to watch over here.
Yeah.
And I swear within 10 minutes, they're unlacing their shoes and making a dive into the beach.
Yeah, I think
it's irresistible.
And I think it taps into something. I think it taps into that kind of childhood gene that most of us have been working to bury for most of our adult lives. I just thought it was delightful. It must be a huge, Instagram hit.
Well, you know, it doesn't happen if you can't gram it, right?
Yeah, well, that's not my theory, Michelle. You know that.
It has been a big, not just an Instagram hit, but it's been really wonderful to see all of the different families. You know, we're making this available to people for free.
That's one of the other things. Yeah.
Families from all over the city are coming and enjoying, you know, the first day, the public day, was last Saturday. And that was the day that, you know, you wake up that morning and every weathercaster was saying, if you don't have to go out today, stay home.
Right.
And so we thought no one would show up. And lo and behold, people were lined up to get in. And it's been at capacity every day of operation since we opened it.
Well, that's great. One of the things about an event like that and a show like that is I think it will make, and I'm trying to think big picture here, not only will it make kids think of, depending on their age, of the meaning of art and the bigger kind of picture of art and interactive kind of art, but also there's something really wonderful about having kids from, you know, Englewood playing in that big body of plastic balls alongside kids from, you know, Lake Forest and kids from Beverly and kids from Sauganash and kids from Old Town. It is really, it's public. To my mind, it is public art is the way public art should be. You got to share that opinion, don't you, Michelle?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the equalizer.
Yeah.
It just brings joy to everyone. And it doesn't matter what neighborhood you're from. What background you may have. You know, we had a reporter there from Univision the other day, and it was so great to see, you know, the Latino kids just swarm this guy. He was like a movie star. But you know, it was just that moment of we're here where, you know, this guy that we see on TV is also here having a good time.
Yeah.
It's really been something to see. And I have to, you know, just thank the people who were supporters and sponsors to allow us to even do this project, and that's the Free for All Fund from the Chicago Community Trust and Hilton Worldwide, and also our Navy Pier Associates Board for lending support so that we could make this really wonderful public art installation accessible to all.
It really is one of the great public art things. It reminds me, you know, it's like the Crown Fountain. It's everybody gathered around and sharing this kind of, you know, art experience that is not hidden behind walls. You know, the Navy Pier is annually the largest tourist draw in the city, drawing something in the neighborhood of, I think, if I'm not wrong, Michelle Boone, 4 million, maybe 5 million people a year.
Well, it's actually about 9.7 million.
Come on, jeez. Well, let me ask you this before I let you go and cuddle up in under your covers and get ready for whatever the snow is tomorrow. That what I think, just on an initial look, and I've known the pier for a long time when my uncle used to teach there when it was the University of Illinois, all throughout the Chicago Fest years and through all the Navy Pier years, that it is sort of reclaiming, I think, its place as a distinctive part of Chicago. And not that it's ignoring what tourists may want, but I think it's embellishing what makes the pier and has made it for more than 100 years special. Am I overly romanticizing this whole thing?
No, not at all. And I think that really gets to the basis of what the Centennial Plan hoped to do, that it's reclaiming the notion of it is the people's pier.
Yeah.
And it's for our people,
exactly.
Not just, you know, visitors, but for Chicagoans. And so it's one of the most magnificent spaces that you can find, not just for our lakefront, but really anywhere in the world. It's so beautiful. This is our city's oasis.
You know, you could go
there.
It's
great that we have opportunities to, you know, reconnect back with.
But one of the great things is you can go there with 5 cents in your pocket and you can walk the length of the pier from west to east and just stand at the east edge of that pier, and you will think of the city and what you see of the city in winter or summer as a unique place. Michelle Boone, you're the best. I can't wait to see what the crowd's like on Super Bowl Sunday, because there are indeed people in this world, Michelle, who don't care about football. I don't know any of them, but I don't care.
Well, you can come and enjoy the beach and maybe catch the game at halftime.
That's right. I mean, there are enough saloons that they got a billy goat down there. They have television
That's
sets.
Right.
Exactly. Make a whole day of it. Michelle, it's always great to talk to you and see you, and continued success out there, honey. You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much, Rick.
My pleasure. It's navypier.org, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't been there for a while, the beach is a really good excuse to go.